So we're kind of like parachuting into the middle of a whole discussion in the Gemara, which I wanted to skip just because like we have to move on. But the Gemara until now was discussing at what point, right? So you steal something big in Eva, and then you sell something, right? So then we see if it's a cow or donkey, so you're chayev dalveh, right? You're chayev four or five times. So the Gemara has this long discussion about at what point in the theft process are you chayev dalveh, right? So primarily, does it make a difference if it's before yeyesh or after yeyesh? And you could have argued for two different reasons. You could have said, well, once there is yeyesh, there is no longer dal v'hei, because if I think that yeyesh is kona, right, so now the object belongs to you, right, and shelo tevech, shelo hu mocher, you're shefting or selling what's yours, and therefore you're going to be pater. Right, that would be the argument to say that there's no dal v'hei for selling after yeyesh. On the other hand, you could have said that there's no dal v'hei for selling before yeyesh, because if you sell something without the victim of the theft having been miyayesh, so who does the object belong to? Belongs to the original person, right? Because we said you need yayish plus shinoi rishus to transfer ownership. So since, legally speaking, your sale has been ineffective, right? So since your sale's been ineffective, perhaps we should say that an ineffective sale cannot create an obligation to pay the four or five times penalty, right? And the reason why you would say that is because what's machira linked to? The other situation where you have dal v'hei? Besides selling? What?
Shinoi.
Well, in other words, what action will make you pay four or five times other than selling the... Right, right, slaughtering the animal, right? And if you shech the animal, so as the Gemara nicely says, ahanu ma'asaf, right? If you shech the animal is dead, right? So just like when it comes to tvicha, so we say that your tvicha has to be practically successful in order to generate an obligation, right? If the animal is still alive, then you're not chayav dal v'hei. So too, if the sale is not legally binding, then perhaps you will not have to pay dal v'hei. It just reminds me, my dad got me this like set of chumashim in Israel, which has like a bunch of short quotes from Lithuanian Rashi Yeshiva from the last 200 years. So it's great, like, quick hit Divrei Torah. A lot of them are very yeshivish, but like every fifth one is like really cool. So one is from the Magid of Vilna. So I don't know who the Magid of Vilna is, but it's just a good one to have in your back pocket if you know, for next year's Basar Fest, because he says that... what?
So you're holding.
Well, Parshas Noach, you know, I take pride.
Right.
But he says that, like, what was the deal with the Egyptians worshipping sheep? So he says the reason is because the Egyptians wanted to show their superior morality, so they were going to find the most defenseless animal out there, and they were going to, you know, not only protect the defenseless sheep, but they were going to worship the sheep. And he says, but since that wasn't connected to any religious impulse, it was just coming from their own, desire to be superior. So then, look, they end up worshiping sheep and enslaving people. So you know, Basar Fest, we're taking a strong stand, right? We respect people and we eat the sheep. So just to hold on to. But anyway, right? So if you shacht your sheep, your shachting is definitely effective. So too, perhaps if you sell the animal, your sale needs to be effective, and therefore it would have to be done after yayesh, right? So there are arguments in the Gemara. Maybe you need yayesh for the sale to machayav dal behei. On the other hand, maybe you dafka need to not have yayesh, because otherwise the object is yours, and there's nothing more to discuss. So after batting these all around, so the Gemara quotes Rav Nachman, and Rav Nachman is of the opinion that you are chayiv dal behei in each scenario, right? Because the way we paskin is that yeyesh alone is not kona, according to everyone except the Reina Tam. So Rav Nachman thinks that you're chayiv dal behei after yeyesh, because it still belongs to the original owner. And he says you're chayiv dal behei before yeyesh, because we don't require a legally effective sale. We don't consider this to be a parallel between shechita and mechira. Okay, so then with that background, the Gemara gets to a discussion between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Because Rabbi Yochanan strongly endorses the position that that you will be chayav dal behei before Yeish, right? Rabbi Yochanan strongly endorses the position that you do not need the sale to be legally binding. Where does Rabbi Yochanan get that from? So this is all just stuff that we're skipping, but it's interesting. Rabbi Yochanan gets that from comparing the sale in Geneva of objects to comparing Geneva in the sale of humans, right? Which is the other form of Geneva, and obviously the Geneva from the Aseret HaDibros. Right, and you are not chayev misa for kidnapping, unless you both kidnap the person and then sell the person into slavery, which we might actually discuss in a couple of dap, and that's going to come up again. But so the point is, obviously, is your sale of the human binding? Obviously not, right? You can't just steal someone off the street and sell him. That's not a legally binding sale. All right, so says Rabbi Yochanan, just like in the world of kidnapping, we don't require a legally binding sale, so too in the world of theft of metaltolin, we're not going to require a legally binding sale as well. Right, so that's Rabbi Yochanan's position to prove that you do not need yeish for dal behei for sale. The question then is, right, what about, does yeish kill my dal behei? Right, will I say that now I have acquired the object, and there's no more dal v'hei? In other words, basically, do we say yeish is kone or yeish is not kone? So Rabbi Yochanan is of the opinion that yeish is not kone, and therefore you're going to pay dal v'hei. And Reish Lakish is going to fight. Reish Lakish is going to be of the position that yeish is kone, and therefore he agrees with Rabbi Yochanan about the kidnapping point, and therefore you're going to be chayiv if you sold pre-Yeish, even though your sale is not binding, I don't care. But argues Reish Lakish, since Yeish is kona, so after Yeish, shlo tovech, shlo homocher, and he's going to be pater, right? So that's all the background which gets to our Gemara on Samachas Amibes. We're just going to get to the topic we want to actually discuss. So let's pick that up. Does anybody want to read? Because with my 2.5 hours yesterday, I could use a break. Awesome. Okay, just do it slow. So start with Michal de Sever Reish Lakish, right? Or Rabbi Yochanan. Michal de Sever Yochanan, that is right after the Ein Mishpat bet right there.
I don't have that format.
What?
I don't have that format.
Okay, so, well, you're it's digital?
Yeah.
Let's just do a control F, right? Michal de Sever?
Michal, Michal. Mm-hmm. Only before Yeshu actually chayav, after Yeshu, when he kona it, he'd be chayav to yours. Veshlohu togeach, veshlohu, okay, it's his to ask, it's his to sell. So I see Rabbi Yochanan, the Reish Lakish,
so what's, just to nail down, right? So the kudos machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish is what?
It's the case of where you are for when there's Yeshu.
But I'm saying, what are they arguing about?
Yeah,
whether Yeish is kona or not, right? So Reish Lakish says Yeish is kona, therefore you do not pay dal v'hei if you sold after Yeish, and Rabbi Yochanan thinks that Yeish is not kona, therefore it still belongs to the owner, and even after Yeish, you're gonna pay dal v'hei if you sell it. Okay, so now.
I never necessarily said that Yeish is not kona.
Fair. So. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, so I get you. In theory, you could read this part of the Gemara right now as saying Rabbi Yochanan does not. You could have said that, but we don't. So don't worry. Okay.
Yeah,
it's a good point.
Yeah. Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish.
Yeah.
Hikdish Adacha Dakakach Teva. Right. You steal it. Mafkish it. So the ending was now Adacha Teva, and now you shop.
Who's that?
Okay, so what's the halacha?
So
Salathe. So if you stole it, your mark is just so that it's not really in anyone's possession, technically speaking.
Right, because it was belonged to?
Then it belongs.
Yeah. Right.
And then you shaft it. So you won't be Chaye Teshnume Arba Chamisha, you only be Chaye Teshnume Tefa.
Okay, why that split?
So why the split? Why Arba? Why Teshnume Tefa, not Arba Chamisha?
Right.
Because you stole it, but I assume because you stole it, but at the same time you didn't shaft it.
Right. And when I
you shafted someone else's.
When I shafted it, it belonged to someone else, right? Namely, the Ribbono Shel
Olam. Well, it didn't belong to Ezen. Yeah.
Right. When it, I'm only chayiv dal v'hei if it belongs to the original owner when I shaft it. Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So in Mabul and Zapit, even if I might say it was before Yish, Kaddish something is before Yish, Ish ki yafish et beito Kaddish of Achmana. Right. Ma beito shalom, just as your house is yours, Achkol shalom. You could be makish anything that's yours, and that which is not.
Right. So what's that drasha exactly?
Drasha is the pasuk says Ish ki yafish et beito. So in fact, it says big toe, his house implies it has to be something that belongs to you, not something that does not belong to you.
Right. So I can't say that your computer is hektish. Doesn't work.
True.
Okay.
So Ella Peshita La Achayesh. Obviously Achayesh. Yatama de Hikdish hu de Enu Mishalim Tashtunay Arba Chamisha de Ki de Hi Katevach de Hekshi Katevach. What was it that he shot? He shot because that which was hektish. Lo hektish. If it was not hektish, tabach mishalei tishlumi avon chamisha. You need to pay avon chamisha because it no longer belongs. It's not hektish, it belongs to the original owner. The e is like a daita cheyush kona. If you want to say that yesh is actually kona, amai mishalei. Why is he paying at? Why would he pay tishlumi? Why would he pay kefal all?
Well, not kefal. Why would he pay arba v'chamisha?
I thought that was in the case of. Oh,
what's the question?
Question is on the opinion that would read this, that Konet, that Yeish is Konet. How would you understand the fact that he is, well, how could you ever understand the fact that he became 4 and 5?
Right, because Mimanov Shach, you shouldn't be able to do it.
Yeah.
If I made it hektish before Yeish, then that's not effective, right?
Yeah.
Because
wasn't yours, yeah.
Exactly, it wasn't yours, and it belonged to the owner. And how do you know I can't makish something that belongs to someone else?
Because
Beita, right? Exactly, the pasuk said that. Okay, and so, well, no problem. So we'll say that I stole it, there was yayush, and then I made it hektish, right? But why can't I be chayav dal v'hei then, according to Reish Lakish?
It's yours.
It's yours, right? So, you know, he's Reish Lakish is going to be caught between two extremes. Before Yeish, it totally belongs to the other guy, right? And therefore, I can't make it hektish. Or after Yeish, it's going to totally belong to me, and then I'm not going to be chayav dal v'hei, right? So Reish Lakish has no middle position, right? Rabbi Yochanan will have a middle position. That'll be after Yeish. So now it's no longer after Yeish, I'm allowed to. The ganav is able to transfer ownership, right? Like we said, after Yeish, if you sell it to someone, it's a legally binding sale, right? Yeish plus shinir is just as kona. So after Yeish, just like the ganav can legally sell it, so too he can legally make it hektish, but he doesn't yet own it, right? Because Yeish alone is not kona. So he's going to be chayiv. He's going to be chayiv dal v'hei. He'll be pater in that. And he'll be chayiv in that case, right? One second, sorry. I'm confused. Yeah, he'll be pater. Okay, let me just draw this out just to make sure that it's totally clear. There are a couple of different stages in the case. Right. So, stage one, right? So you are... Can this one work on the board, do you know?
Yeah.
But
it might not
work
at all.
Yeah. I'll go to the check. Make it work. Right, so one is... is your gonia. Okay, fine. Let's try it that way.
Before you got here, the whole board was covered in Chinese because...
Really?
There's a Chinese class here every day.
Like an official college
class? Yeah, there are a lot of Columbia classes in the Hilla building during the week.
Do they pay? They rent the... Oh, that's awesome.
I feel a little wet. I don't know why. But.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, okay, great. Whoa, and it's like a Chinese eraser or something? So your go name?
Yeah.
Right? And then at the very end, you are Tobeya, right? Sheftet. And then parentheses, right? Yayesh, because maybe yes, maybe no. And over here is Maktish. Right? So the Brisa told me that if I stole and I made it Hektish, and then I sheft it. So I pay Kefal, right? Kefal. Yes, and Dalad, Behei. No. Right? So I stole, Makdish, Teveach, Kefal, Yas, Dalad, Behei, no. The question is, right, Mimanafshach, either this isn't true, or this is obvious. Right? So in the world of Reish Lakish, where Yayash gives you a kinyan, so then... what's the case? If you're gonev and there never was any yayash, then the hektish isn't effective, right? Because it still belongs to the original owner, and therefore this is not true. You will be chayav dal behei because it didn't become hektish, right? Pasuk said ish ki yakish es beso. If it belongs to the other guy, I can't make hektish. On the other hand, if there was yayash, so then the thief has totally acquired it. Right, and then the fact that you're pater for dal behei is obvious, and there was no need for the braisa to tell me this. Right? What about Rabbi Yochanan? So Rabbi Yochanan is going to explain the case as follows: you were gonev, and there was yayish. Does yayish make it yours? No. What yayish does is it makes you able to give it to hektish. Right? It makes your hektish chal. Right? And so therefore, the chiddush of the braisa is going to be that since when you made it, when you shechted it, it belonged to Hektish, your pater dal behei, your chayav kefal because you stole it, right? The chiddush is that even though Yayish doesn't give you a kinyan, it allows the Hektish to work, and therefore it belongs to the Beis HaMikdash and you shechted it, and your pater dal behei, right? That's that middle case where it doesn't belong to you, but you're still able to give it to the Beis HaMikdash, and then you're going to be pater for Shafta. Okay. Fine. So that's the question Rabbi Yochanan has on Reish Lakish, right? Reish Lakish is faced with a braisa, which is either obvious or not true. So what's he going to do, right? So what's Reish Lakish's response, right? Amalei hacha mayaskinan.
They were makdashit as it was in the hands of the guy.
Who was makdashit?
The Baal.
Aha. Okay, so we're totally... we're totally flipping the case, right? It's not that the Ganav stole it and then the Ganav made it hektish. The Ganav stole it and then the owner made it hektish, right? So if the Ganav steals it, the owner makes it hektish, and then the Ganav shefts it. So the Ganav will not have to pay Dal Behei because it doesn't belong anymore to the original owner, right? Because the original owner made it hektish. And yeah, you're right, that the thief cannot make it hektish because it doesn't belong to him, and the Pasuk said, ish ki yaktish es beso. But the owner is allowed to make it hektish, right? He still owns the object, he never was miyayish. So just because you stole it, why should that prevent the owner from being able to make the object hektish? You can make it hektish. Right, that's Reish Lakish's claim. The owner can make it hektish even after it's stolen from him. Now Gemara asks,
Mi Kadosh, and this is really Kadosh, Rav Yochanan says, Gaza wrote the Daisha Babri. If you steal something but the Baal Mahatish, both people cannot give Yamaish with the Baal, the Ghana. Zadafi Shainam Shalom, the Ghana because it's not his, the Zadafi Shainam Bishika, and the Baal can because it's not his rishus.
How are we translating his rishus?
In his physical rishus.
Okay, right. So it's not in his physical control, right? Or his physical possession. Okay, so now it's a little bit funny, just the way the Gemara asks the question, right? The Gemara asks, how could Reish Lakish say that the owner can't make it hektish after it's stolen from him? After all, Rabbi Yochanan said that you can't, right? So that's just a little bit funny because, Reish Lakish is going to say, Everything Rabbi Yochanan says, I disagree with. Right? Why should this be any different? But the point is that apparently this is an established drasha. Right? Clearly, the Gemara assumes that this isn't just a Rabbi Yochanan's like own innovation. Right? The Gemara is assuming that this is like an established drasha. Right? And proof is that Reish Lakish's response is not. I just disagree with the drasha, right? The Gemara's response is that Reish Lakish invokes another brisa, right? Reish Lakish is going to bring in another brisa, which clearly thinks that the victim of theft can make things hektish even after it's no longer in his rishas, right? So we're not going to go into that whole case because that's a whole. Massive hornet's nest. What's going on, right? But did you at least like see the Rashi? What's going on in the case of the Tznuin?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So what's the case that who are the Tznuin and what were they doing?
Type of
people.
They're
what?
Right.
No, they're wonderful people. Right. They're Tznuah. Right. They're quiet, modest, tzniastic, sweet people. And what are they doing?
They're leaving out money so other people eat their food that's supposed to be not there.
Right, and they can
Right.
Yeah.
So right, because the halacha is right. The first 3 years of the first 3 years, you can't eat the fruit because the fruit is arla. Right. The fourth year of the fruit, that's called karem ravai, and you're supposed to bring it to the right. It has the same status. It's like ma'aser sheni. Right. You're supposed to bring it to Yerushalayim. The problem is apparently people would walk in and grab your fruits. Right. This is during. I get confused between a couple of different cases. Is this during the Shemitah year?
No, during fourth year.
This is...
When you should eat it in your
slide.
Yeah.
Right, I'm saying is
why
it...
Why did you say that part?
Oh, like why are they just taking your food?
Yeah, I don't remember.
Oh, okay.
I don't think so. I think
but
they're just...
How do you know when it is? It doesn't give that much information.
That's the year when it has to be...
Yeah, no, I'm sorry, I take it back. That's a case, there's another case later on in the Gemara where it's a Shemitah year. But for here, it's just straight up, there's Karam Ravai, right? And people are going to pass by and they're going to take some of your fruits. And that's a problem because, besides the fact they should be taking stuff that doesn't belong to them, they're also going to be eating Karam Ravai outside of Yerushalayim, right? So what would the Tznuin do? So the Tznuin would, right, set aside this money, and they would say, right, that whatever fruits get taken, the kedusha on the fruits will be transferred onto the money, right? And so therefore, it'll turn out that when the people are eating the fruits, they're actually eating chulin fruits because the kedusha has been redeemed onto the cash that was already set aside in advance. So this becomes a whole discussion because this gets into the sugya of breira, right? Which is kind of setting things up so that they work retroactively, right? So, for example, you want to set your Erev Tchumin, right? But you're not sure if you want to go north or south. So you set your Erev Tchumin before Shabbos, and on Shabbos, when I find out, where the Shir was going to be that I wanted to go to, so that I'll determine retroactively what direction my Erev was going in, right? So that's Breira. And that comes up here as well, because you're kind of setting up the money now so that if tomorrow people take fruits, potentially it'll work out retroactively that that it became Padua now, right? That's a whole discussion of is that going on in here or not, which we don't want to go into. The bottom line purpose, bottom line for us, is assuming that there is no retroactiveness at all here, right? That it's just on Sunday. You know, I set it up on Monday, and then on Tuesday, the passerby takes the fruits. So at the time he takes the fruits, the minute he takes the fruits, the kedusha will go onto my dollars. What that means, though, is that the fruits are no longer in my rishus, right? Because they're now in the rishus of the citizen, of the thief, citizen, of the thief. And yet, I am transferring kedusha from the fruits that are not in my rishus to the coins, right? So it's the parallel to hektish, right? Hektish is something, you take something which is chulin and you make it kadosh. Here, I'm taking something which is kadosh, right, and I am transferring that kedusha to my to my to my cash, right? And apparently, the tznuin are of the opinion that even after the fruits have been stolen from you, you still are able to do the pidyon, right? You're still able to redeem the fruits, right? So just like you're able to redeem the fruits after they're stolen from you, so too argues Rish Lakish, you can be Makdish the stuff after it's been stolen from you, right? So apparently the Tznuin reject Rabbi Yochanan's position that the victim of theft cannot make things kaddish. Okay? Is that clear?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So now, with that background, we can focus on Rabbi Yochanan's drasha, right? So what exactly did Rabbi Yochanan, at the end of the day, right, Rabbi Yochanan has a drasha. What is it? So... right, so far we have one pasuk, right? There's one pasuk that's been brought, and which is, right, as you said a second ago. Right. Right, right, right. Ma beso, and then, so what's the, what are the ramifications of that?
Makdish only that which is actually in your possession. Masha, ma beto shalom.
Only what's yours. It's not in your...
What?
Right, you're both right.
Yeah.
Right, so first when Rabbi Yochanan brings the drasha, it's... Right, ma beisa shelo afakol shelo. Right, that just like you have to actually own it. But then, right, we have the second quote of Rabbi Yochanan. Right, v'ham Rabbi Yochanan, gazon sesh rabaylim, shtehen in yochol nahaktish. Right, both the thief and the thief-e can't make the item kadosh. Why? The line is, nezel afi sheina shelo, nezel afi sheina bershuso. So, the key question to ask is this the same halacha or are these two separate points?
Where does he get Bershito from?
What?
Where does he get Bershito from?
it is pretty clear because just like your house is in your physical possession, right? By definition, land can't be stolen, right? Because land remains in your physical possession.
Mm-hmm.
So you would say ma beso bershuso af hakol bershuso.
That's not what he says.
No, but that would be the parallel. Be right. That's not what he says.
It sort
right
of
here.
Seems like he's using them interchangeably.
So there's no
here.
Right now there's only one pasuk. Right? There's only one drasha that's being invoked.
Yes.
And that is ish ki yakdish es beisel. And then afterwards Rabbi Yochanan tells you two halachos. So a question we're gonna We'll look more around in a second, but for now, just the question I want to ask is this one halacha, right? In other words, do the theft and the theftee have the same problem, right? Or are there two separate problems that just both happen to be going on in this case, right? The other way, in other words, what does that mean? The person who's the thief, it's very clear, right? The thief, it's very clear why he can't make it Hektish. He can't make it Hektish because it doesn't belong to him, right? So he lacks ownership. The question is, what does it mean when we say that the victim of the theft lacks Rishus? What is the legal significance of Rishus, right? I understand what it means to own something, but what do I care if it's in his Rishus or not? So if we wanted to say that this is the same problem as that the Ganav has, so then how are we going to explain Rishus?
It's not really either of theirs. If you want to say it's the same problem.
Okay, elaborate.
Meaning that it's not, I mean, just as you're going to say it's not the Ganav's, because it's really, conceptually speaking, not his, you're saying, oh, it's really not, because it's not the Ganav's, because it's conceptually not his, you're saying, so if it's not the Baal's, you have to give an explanation of why it's not the Baal's. It's not the Baal's because it's not his Rishus.
So the loss of physical control has what impact on the owner?
That's what this is.
Right. You'll say that to some extent he loses some of his ownership of the object, right? It's not just that it's not in his control. It's that he is losing his ownership, right? He still is the bialim. He still is the owner of the object, as we know, and that's why If you sell it or shecht it, you'll be chayav dal behei. But he is beginning to lose his ownership, and a ramification, right, an early warning sign of that, like the canary in the coal mine, will be that he's not able to make this hektish. Okay? That's going to be one approach. What if you want to say that there are two different problems, so then how are you going to explain what's Rishuso? What is he losing? What's going on then with Rishuso? Shlo Rishuso, what's the significance of it? Exactly. It still belongs to me 100%, right? But I need, in order to
do stuff
with my stuff, I have to have my stuff.
It's a practical. Right?
Exactly. Right? It's a practical consideration. You need to, it belongs to you, right? You're gonna when you file your tax returns, right? So you're gonna report this in your equity, but you are losing control over what to do with the object. Even though it still belongs to you. Okay? Right? So that's the key question to ask. Is the victim losing ownership, or is he only losing control, and losing control, you know, makes you lose things that you can do with the object? Which do you think is more straightforward?
I think the second one.
I agree. Right? The first one is definitely more mechudash, and that's, you know, it's, we're going to have to try to boost up the proofs for that approach. Now, if you're going to, let's just assume for a second, you make the first approach. You say that shelo b'rishuso means that the ownership of the victim of the theft is already beginning to dissolve. So then you're going to have to ask a second question, which is, what exactly is making the owner lose his ownership, right? What ingredient is there in theft which is unraveling the ownership of the owner? And there are going to be, again, two basic possibilities. You could say it's just the loss of the object, right? Perhaps loss of control leads to loss of ownership, right? Maybe that's something that you'll want to propose. It's going to be a little hard to explain. Or perhaps the fact that let's put it this way. After Yeyush happens, who can be Makdish the object?
Well, the owner can be Yochanan.
According to Yochanan. What? After Yeyush happens, who can be Makdish? The thief, right? The thief. So, where did the thief get that ability to be makdish from? He's not the owner; he's the thief. And Yeyush didn't give him ownership. Yeah, basically, the ganav is taking over the object, right? The kinyane ganeva. He's not the owner, but he is gaining, by virtue of his theft, he's gaining rights in the object, right? He's becoming the owner of the object. So he's able to make a hekdesh. So, okay, I get that post-Yeyush, but what about pre-Yeyush? Right? Is the Ganav a zero pre-Yeyush, and he goes from like 0 to 60? Or maybe the Ganav is 20, right? And he's not yet a high enough, his rights in the object aren't yet high enough to make a hekdesh, but he stole it, it's in his possession, and
the Baal can't be Makdisha anymore.
Right, because the Ganav now has in his possession. So maybe it is the possession, the growing ownership, right, the burgeoning ownership of the Ganav, which is pushing out the ownership of the victim of the theft, right? There is now officially a competition between the Ganav and the Nignav, who is considered the bailim of the object, right? And the answer is, there's a spectrum of ownership. The owner, before Yeyush, the owner is still the primary bailim, right? But he's beginning to lose his ownership to the Ganav, right? And so an early nafka mina that is going to be that the bailim no longer has the ability to be makdish his stuff because he no longer has full ownership. The beginnings of ownership are beginning to be given to the Ganav. Right, so that would be probably the best explanation for how the owner is losing ownership when he loses rishus. Right? No, it's not just that because it's not in my possession doesn't belong to me. It doesn't make any sense, right? Why should physical possession indicate ownership? But if it's that loss of control, kind of reflects the fact that who has control, right? The Ganav has control, and that's pushing me out. So then I can understand how the victim of theft is already losing his ownership, right? So that's the question we're going to have. Is the Riochanan telling me one halacha? Both of these guys can't be makdish because neither one is the full bailim? Or are they two separate halachos? Zeh lefi she'eino shalau, right? The thief isn't the owner yet. And zeh lefi she'eino b'reshuso, it's just not in his possession. That affects what he's practically able to do with the object. Two totally different problems. That is the question we want to ask. Okay, so now there's a second piece of Gemara that I wanted to get in today, right, which is after the Gemara discusses, right, snuin, da-da-da-da-da, right, and the Gemara goes on, and then we pick up again with Rabbi Yochanan on Sanat Testament base. Basically, the Gemara establishes that Rish Lakish does indeed have a brisa on his side, right, that... there is a position in the Tanaim who thinks that you can be makdish even after your stuff is stolen. And so the Gemara turns around and asks, okay, well, once Rish Lakish has this brisa of the Tznuin, who said that the owner can be poded his fruits even after they've been stolen, so why did Rabbi Yochanan disagree, right? We turn the tables, right? So why did Rabbi Yochanan disagree with Rish Lakish? And so the Gemara answers that Rabbi Yochanan had another brisa of his own, right? There is another brisa which assumes against Reish Lakish and assumes against the Tznuin that you can not be makdish your stuff after it's stolen, right? So let's pick up with that. That's on Samach Tes Amud Beis. Right, so we'll just read from Rabbi Yochanan until... Ella Shramina Zelfi Shane Shala Zelfi Shane Roshusa. That's like 5 blocks. Anyone want to take it?
I don't know. I just need to find it.
Okay, great.
So where are we starting?
In the Gemara, the last two words on the line are Rabbi are Vir yeah. Rabbi Yochanan. Yeah. It's like a third of the way down the skinnies.
Okay. Oh, okay. No, never mind.
Last word on the line is Yochanan.
Really?
I think
Gemara is actually in a different order.
Yeah,
Ozahar is a little...
Ozahar is a different...
Yeah.
Really?
I found it.
Okay, great.
The pages start on the same word.
I just saw last night that there are new Ozahar Gemaras that have, like, bold in Tosfos.
Let's not talk about that.
Wait, what?
It's a rough topic. Wait.
They transition points in Tosfos that are bolded.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, like, when there's a V.M. Tomar, V.A. Shlomar,
awesome.
Vodi Shlomar.
No, I don't know. That's not that necessary. Because those words really, like, give themselves away. Just
for the
yeah.
being Rosh Yateva?
Yeah, no, but just
when
by, like...
It, to help people out. To help people...
Are you concerned it's too easy for them to actually
no,
see easily?
It could
what's
affect
the problem?
How people
yeah.
read things.
What?
It could affect how people read things. If people read every single Ink Tomar Tosas as a turning point, which usually is a turning point, but sometimes
but did they, is
it doesn't always function
good?
As that... Yeah.
They highlighted just every single one?
I doubt that.
They have real time data that I've been working on these
okay,
things.
Okay, but even if you have real time data that I've been working on it, and someone interpreted it as a training
what?
From their office, and they're asking how you
do it. The Osvater office?
I saw pictures of it. It's like in Israel. It's like a bunch of Haredi guys who have like a cubicle, and they have like a little
so
hook for their hat. And they just, like, sit in a...
9 to 5.
They sit in, like, an office, and they look at manuscripts all day. Like, probably illegally, I don't know. I'm in there.
What's your, like, authoritative read of anything in the Gemara itself?
Such an interesting... Yeah.
This guy just has no chance. And just, like, right in the Sifta edition.
Yeah, that thing is...
Put us about this.
Great. Yeah. Okay, so anyway. Rabbi Yochanan, right?
Rabbi Yochanan, Stamachina. Pesach Tetzan. Ein Hagonev Achar Haganav. Nishalei Teshlu Mekeitha. So, it was... Breaks out in Hagonim.
Right. What's a stoma?
With no author.
Right, the anonymous breisa, which is the best breisa out there. Right?
Mm-hmm. Okay. So if you are steal an object after from a ganav,
mm-hmm.
you pay teshlumei keitha.
You in Hagonim.
Oops. In Hagonim after a ganav, v'shalim teshlumei keitha. Amai v'shalim leganav rishon. Look, lo mishalim. The goni can be, and then the okay, why? Because you don't pay. Sorry, I don't know where I am again. Okay, am I the shalom liyam of rishon lo mishalim? Because you should really have to pay everything to. Like, why don't you pay everything to the first?
Right. So I understand. So let's just set up the case, right? So Reuven owns an object, and then Shimon steals the object, and then. Levi steals the object from Shimon, right? So a gonev achar ganav, right? Someone stole from the stealer. So the second thief does not pay kefa, right? That's what the braisa said.
Mm-hmm.
So now the question is why? Why is he pater from kefa? So bisham leganav rishon, right? I understand why he doesn't pay the first thief, the person he actually took the stuff from. Right, because
the gonev mi beit ha'ish, below mi beit ha'ganav. The pasuk says gonev mi beit ha'ish, and not from the bite of the thief. Ela l'baalim nishlam, so you should really pay the baali. Ela lach mamina, zel lefi she'ino shelo, v'zel lefi she'ino bershuta. But we don't because we don't have the same quote from we had. Attributed to Rabbi Yochanan before,
mm-hmm.
because it's not this, because it doesn't belong to the second ganav, maybe v'zel l'fisha ino rishuta, and you can't pay the original ba'al because it wasn't his rishut when you took it.
Yeah. Okay. So let's break that down. So now we have a new pasuk being brought in here, right? Which is the gunav mibeis ha'ish, that you only pay kefel. If you stole from the original, owner, right? So in the case where Levi, right, thief number two steals from thief number one, so he's pater from kefel across the board, right? There are two potential candidates for kefel, right? But two people come to us, they say they want kefel from ganav number two, right? They're ganav number one, who the object was actually stolen from, and the owner, right? So why do we tell Ganav number one, sorry, but you don't get kefel?
Because it wasn't stolen from his rishon.
The thief, right? Right, so the... Yeah.
Oh, Ganav number one, okay, yeah.
A thief doesn't get kefel because it wasn't his. And what about owner?
It wasn't in his rishon.
Exactly, right? And so we're getting both of those from Vigunav Beis Ha'ish. So that tells me that I have to have it taken from my possession and my ownership in order to have to pay kefal. Okay. So now we have two different pesukim here. right? One is ish kiyatish as beso, right? That it has to be in your possession for you to make it hektish. And two is this pasuk of vigunav mi beso ish, that has to be in your possession in order for you to be chayiv kefal. Okay, so we talked for a second about the, right, we talked about the basic hakir we're going to ask, if loss of rishus means loss of ownership or just loss of certain abilities. So how are we going to plug that into this pasuk? All right, let's plot that out.
Yeah, how are we going to plug one into that?
We have the chakira, loss of rishus. Does it mean loss of ownership or only loss of control with certain ramifications of that? So what do we think? And we said last time that we had an easier time understanding the loss of control approach rather than the loss of ownership approach.
Here
so
it seems like loss of ownership approach.
I totally
we're
agree.
We're not talking about any change affected by the Baal, but his rights to the money.
Exactly, right? At least the pashtus is that here we're talking about you no longer are the full owner, and therefore you're not going to be chayev kefel if it's you're not going to get kefel if it's taken from you. There's a way to get around that though. You could say, right, don't look at it from the perspective of the owner, but look at it from the perspective of the thief. You could say a thief isn't chayev and kefel unless he does a full act of theft, right? You have to do a full maisa gneva in order to be chayev kefel. And if I stole it, but it already wasn't in the possession of the other guy, right? So maybe that's just not considered a full maisa gneva. Maybe part of gneva is not just taking something that belongs to someone else, but it's also, right, wresting something from that other person's possession. So the reason why he's not getting kefel isn't because the owner doesn't have rights to get kefel. It's because the act of theft that I did is not one which is sufficiently thefty in order to make me pay kefel. But it definitely is, I agree that I think that the pashtus in this drasha is reflecting a loss of ownership when you already lose your rishus. Now, so fine. So now we have two different drashas, right? Ish kiyaktesh es beso, and we have vigunav mibesa ish. Ish kiyaktesh es beso, that's a drasha which is about what you can and cannot do, right? You can't make this hektish after it's taken from you. And vigunav mibesa ish is talking about what you get and what you don't get, that you don't get kefel after stuff's been taken from you. Fine. And we also have the fact that Rabbi Yochanan is learning both Eino Shelo and Roshuso from that one pasuk, right? Does that point to a relationship or not? We want to know that. And we also want to know, why are there two different psukim, right? And if there are two different psukim, is one a primary pasuk and one a ramification pasuk? And if so, what's that going to tell us about our hakira, right? So just, we won't go into all enough meaning now, but let's just cover the question of what the real makar for Rabbi Yochanan is, right? So did you get to see the riff?
Yes.
Okay, so let's open the riff.
It's
his own category now. Like, you go into, you open Rishonim. Yeah.
It's not
a Rishonim Uperushim al.
Oh, it's
Mepharshim. Right, now it's Mepharshim Uposkim al Abavi Rishalmi. Yeah, you're right. Wow.
Oh. Yeah. Oh.
Yeah, they did a new.
The new riff in the back.
Yeah.
And it's like, so many things telling you, oh, this is this daven. You can't tell if it's the daven, the original riff or the daven of the Gemara.
So my Gemara for Bava Kama is every year YU has a Hefker Sfarim sale, where all the Sfarim which people left in the basement over the summer, they get taken down to the basement, and then they send out a spreadsheet like, here are all the Sfarim, here are all the shelves where Sfarim with various names are. You have 2 months to like find your Sfarim and take them, and then they become Hefker, And then there's a Heifer's Farm sale. So $2 a safer. So
Gush just gives them away.
What?
Gush just gives them away.
So we you know, financially sound institution, we, you know, we raise money whenever we can.
Yeah.
So I got this there like a few years ago, because I figured it's like a good investment, $2 a mile. But it's old. So it's the, this is the old, this is the old, yeah, exactly, with like the Balthamar and the readable version of them, like, somewhere random. Yeah. Anyway, so the riff is on, it's on Chav Zayin Amud Aleph, I think, right?
Yeah.
So what is he, it's like an en passant remark, right? He isn't, there's no fanfare to it, but, so he's talking about the machlokas we talked about at the very beginning today, right? The question of when pre/post-yeyush are you chayav dal behay for mechira, right? And he and the Rif says we pass him like Rav Nachman, they are chayav dal behay both pre and post mechira, right? And then he's explaining why he passed him like Rav Nachman. And one of the things he says, he passed him like Rav Nachman because Rav Yochanan agrees with Rav Nachman, right? And if you've got, if you're in Dini Mamanos and you have Rav Nachman and Rav Yochanan on your side, that's like an unbeatable combo, right? Then he says, right, so what did Rav Yochanan say? Rav Yochanan, Gazo, Tashra, Bayim, Shin, Yochanan, Lahaktish, Zelvish, Nerslav, Zelvish, Nerbashuso, De Amar Kra, the Ish, Kiyaktish, as Beso, Ma Beso, Shehu, Bershuso, Afkol, Shehu, Bershuso, right? So the riff explicitly takes the drasha, right, we had in our Gemara's, right? Mm-hmm. Beis Hashu Shalom, Avkol Hashu Shalom, and the Rif very reasonably says, right, the exact same pasuk is being applied to learn Rabbi Yochanan's other side of the coin as well, right? That Ma Beis Hashuso, Avkol Bereshuso, right? And that's all the Rif has on Rabbi Yochanan, right? Then the Rif jumps to the next big sugya of Harsha. This is it, right? You want to know what the Rif thinks the source for Rabbi Yochanan is? It's Ish Kiyaktish as Beis. Okay, now, if that's the case, at least the pashtas is that Ish Kiyaktish Es Beiso is all about what you can do and what you can't do with your stuff, right? You can't make stuff hektish if it isn't in your rishas. Now the Gemara has a bunch of different things that you can't do when something is in your rishas after it's been stolen, right? So you can't make it hektish. We saw you can't redeem it. We skip this part, but the Gemara also says you can't make it hefker, and you can't make, and you don't get kefa, right? So if we thought that that's all coming from ish kiyaktish es beiso, so that's a little bit funny, right? Because ish kiyaktish es beiso is not talking about geneva, right? It's just you can't make stuff hektish if it's not in your rishos, right? And then apparently we're extrapolating all these different principles from that, which is just a little bit tough. I think that's exactly why Rabbi Akiva Eger reacts the way that he does. So you guys are able to find it in the end, right?
Yeah. Okay,
so it's good to know. We have, you know, we know from the Gemara, we have his notes on the side of the Gemara sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
In the Shulchan Aruch, we have just like his notes on the Shulchan Aruch, and they're totally underappreciated, but he also had his notes on the Mishnayos, which, unlike the rest of the Rabbi Akiva Eger stuff, which is, like, very long and complex, and, you know, you're, like, juggling 15 things at once. So this is all, like, very straight, very to-the-point comments. And what he says in the notes on the Mishnah, so he says, what's the real source for Rabbi Yochanan? Remember?
That when a ganav has the object in his possession, then the original owner can still be makdish because it's not in his pursuit. It doesn't belong. No, I don't get it. And when an object is, I have, what do you have? So I wrote down. When an object is stolen from the Beit HaShomer, then the owner can still be makdish.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So he says that. It's interesting how he defines reshut, because he's saying that when a shomer has the object, then that's enough for the owner to still be makdish, because the shomer is like an extension of the...
Right, right. Which we're, we'll, yeah.
Like, Rishut's clearly not just a physical category, right?
Excellent. Right. The, so the, when you have something in your, and we'll see that the Tosfos Rid has a great line about this, how we consider the rishus of a shomer, right? A shomer, on the one hand, it's not in your possession, but on the other hand, it's in the possession of the person you hired, right? So you might think of this as kind of like your embassy would be an analogy, right? Where it's not on my, on my, it's not my country, it's not like my home territory, but it's my, you know, it's my remote territory, right? It's in my shomer's possession, and that, that kind of means it's as if it's in my possession as well, right? You're not going to compare the, if something is in the possession of a shomer, excuse me, as opposed to being in the possession of a thief, right? So when something is in the possession of a thief, so it's really not under your control, right? When it's in the possession of a shomer, so it's not in my backyard, but, you know, any minute of the day, I can call up a shomer and I can say, you know, give it back, please. And then you can argue, what about more complicated cases? What about where I agree to rent it for a certain period of time? What about where I lend it for a certain period of time? Right, and that's going to be a discussion we're going to have in some of the following makoros, right? Cases where you don't have theft, but you do have a greater loss of a greater loss of rishus. Right, that all these nafkamina, right? Our whole question of is loss of rishus, loss of control, or loss of ownership caused by kinyani geneva. So all the nafkamina are going to be cases where you really don't have control, but there's also no theft or no kinyani geneva. Right? That's what all these cases are gonna revolve around. But anyway, so Rabbi Akiva Eiger, he seemed to have the guna v'meisa ish as kind of the central problem, and then everything else flowing from that. Right? He said once the Kevan de Haganav Machsik Badavar Bataras Geneva, right, since he is holding on to it as a thief, it is no longer in the possession of the Bailim. It is no longer Rishus Bailim. And then therefore, as a ramification of that, we're gonna have Ish Kiyak Ishis Besa, we're gonna have Gunav Besa Ish, but the kind of not that the foundational din is Ishkiyat Ishis Besa, loss of control. The foundational problem is that the thief has taken it from you and is no longer in your possession. And that's going to trigger all these other cases. It seems like he is more he's more heavily emphasizing loss of ownership thanks to theft. And that is explicitly said by the Maharam, right? Another Maharam we have. Maharam, they always told me, was a high school Rebbe, and therefore a lot of times he like has a ton of stuff on the beginning of the parak, and then he kind of like plummets towards the end because that's just never where the shir got up to. But so the Maharam says explicitly, it's on daf samit tes, I think. Yeah, right. So he's the Maharam makes an excellent point. He says that we are that once the Gemara invokes the pasuk of Vigunav mi beis ha'ish, right, that you're pater from kefel because it was it's no longer in your possession. So he says, oh, we are comparing, right? We are comparing kefel to hektish. And what's the point of that? That just like it's not yours when it comes to kefel, right? You're not called lo nikra baal hadavar. You are not called the owner because it's not in your rishus, right? He says, look, I look at kefel. The simple interpretation why there's a tour from kefel is because I'm no longer the full owner. I'm no longer the full owner, right? And therefore, I don't get kefel if it's stolen from the guy who stole it from me, right? I'm no longer the Baal Hadavar. And then says the Maharam, oh, just like I'm not the Baal Hadavar to get kefel, so too I'm not the Baal Hadavar for being able to be makdish the object. Right, he has not. Things are coming from ish kiyak ish beso, but it's that the main pasuk is v'guna mi beso ish, and he assumes that tells me I'm no longer the full owner. And why do you need two pasukim? Well, what right now I have a second pasuk which tells me, oh, that halacha you learn from v'guna mi beso ish, which tells you that you're not the full owner. There's another pasuk telling you an additional ramification of that is that you can't make the object hektish, right? So one of these psukim is the foundational din, and one of these psukim is the outgrowing nafkamina, right? That's how the Maharam explains why you need to have both. And when you learn it this way, that the main halacha is that there's no kefel because it's not gunav beis ha'ish, and that tells you I'm no longer the full owner. And a ramification of that is that I can't make it hektish. I can't make it hektish either. Okay, so let's stop here, right? So that's the basic setup we have. Is we're questioning is a loss of rishus loss of ownership or only loss of control, and then all the questions that are going to come out, right? All the nafkamina are going to be cases where it seems like there's no rishus, but it's unclear is there really a competing ganav who's taking ownership from you, right? So in those cases, can you be makdish? Can you makdish or not? And that's what we'll figure out next week. All right. Which one?